In 1982, the Ramones were in a gutter-bound spiral. Following a run of inconsistent albums and deep in the throes of internal tensions, the legendary quartet was about to crash and burn. Then came Richie Ramone, the 26-year-old from Jersey who instantly revitalized the pioneering outfit with his powerful, precise, and blindingly fast beats. We've heard Joey's story and Dee Dee's, Johnny's, Marky's, and even Monty Melnick's story, the band's intrepid road manager. The mysterious Richie Ramone has been the missing link. That is corrected with the brand new memoir, I Know Better Now, My Life Before, During, and After the Ramones, by Richie Ramone, written along with Chronogram Arts editor Peter Aaron. And it's a great pleasure to welcome both Richie Ramone and Peter Aaron to the roundtable this morning. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us.
Great. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
All right, Richie, we'll begin with you of why you wanted to tell your story at this point.
Well, it was all, like, I contacted some Lee Sobel, a literary agent. You know, I thought about it for a while, if I wanted to do it or I wanted to do it later in my life. But, you know, the iron was hot. But I think my story was, I think it's important to tell my side. You know, I'm kind of the Ramone who was there for 4 years and 10 months and then split and no one saw me ever again for years and years and years. So, you know, I think it was the right time. And, you know, once I found Peter, who kind of grew up in my neck of the woods, the youngster knew the area, it was a no-brainer.
So, Peter, what did you find fascinating about the story?
Well, I mean, you know, everything. I mean, the thing is, Richie is, you know, he was kind of this mystery man. And to, you know, those of us who are fans, he was this guy that kind of came out of nowhere and really revitalized the band. And then he was gone, you know, fairly quickly. You know, I mean, he spent almost five years in the band, but it was sort of like after he left the band, he kind of disappeared and nobody really knew anything about him. None of the other guys in the band really talked about him. So there was a lot there to find out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they once I left, you know, it was a bitter cycle and they tried to omit me from the history books, which is kind of hard to do after I played on a bunch of albums and played, you know, 500 and something shows. But they tried, but it didn't work. So here I am.
So that idea, and that's one of the things that is fascinating about the book, you perform over 500 shows at venues all around the world. There are, what, three studio albums? And then you quit, and then where do you go? I mean, it is interesting because it seems like it's just a deep underground. Do you consider that?
What do you mean, deep underground? What?
Meaning, where did you go? Like, in the sense of when you leave that, how conscious was it to you to say, like, well, where did you go?
Well, yeah, you know, where did I go? Well, probably 2 months later, I moved to the West Coast. You know, I couldn't see myself, like, hanging in the East Village anymore in New York City because, you know, at that point, things were kind of messy. So I went to L.A., in hopes of, I play with a bunch of other bands and things like that. But, you know, the funny story is, you know, when you come from the Ramones and you try to get another gig, people think you can't play your instrument because they're notorious for that, you know. Like Dee Dee, you had to point to the notes on the bass and, you know. So nothing really happened for my career. And that's when I just, you know, fell off the map for a while.
Well, I think another thing that's interesting was that before the Ramones, Richie had this whole life that, you know, he kind of came out of the underground and this whole life of touring and playing and real working like cover bands and so like real, like doing it as a real job.
Yeah, since I was 17, as soon as I got out of high school, I went on the road. So, you know. You know, I was working as a musician for, you know, 8 years before I got in that band.
So let's talk about you entering the band, because you're 26 years old when you come in, and it's what? It's 1982. The Ramones are having a tough time. They're in a spiral. Give us a sense of the state of the band at that point upon your arrival.
Well, upon my arrival, you know, I was all giddy. This was my first national act. This was huge, you know. After struggling for years and years in bands and not going anywhere, still, you know, making money doing that, whether it was, you know, and, you know, as a kid, I was playing a wedding band, so I've been around the music all the time. But to get your first national act where you have some more, you know, some money in your pocket and don't have to spring your drums around or set them up or do anything was pretty exciting. So I don't really know where they were mentally. I just know when I got in the band, you know, Joey and Dee Dee and I really, it was pretty normal. It's just like going into another band for me. You know, I nailed the auditions and there we were, except it was like at a much bigger level, you know, sold out shows, that type of thing.
So when did things start not to feel right for you?
Towards, you know, maybe, gosh, not till probably my last year, you know, getting into the fourth year. They always felt right, you know, they just started getting weird with John because, as I went through this and I would want to go to Why I Quit or whatever, was because of, you know, merchandise money and certain things, you know. It wasn't feeling right. I figured by 4 years I wanted to be, you know, it was like they treated me as Richard Reinhardt when they wanted to treat me as Richard Reinhardt, but, you know, when they wanted me as Richie Ramone, they treated me as Richie Ramone. Like when I mixed half of the last record, Johnny wouldn't give me credit on that, you know, because he didn't care about that, you know. At that point, I was Richard Reinhardt. So it just became a little more emotional for me, you know.
Peter?
Well, one thing I think you were kind of leading into, Joe, was, you know, the Ramones were, I mean, this is something that's been said, and Joey Ramone actually said this himself, was that Richie saved the band, really. He saved the Ramones because, you know, they fired Marky, and Dee Dee kind of had, you know, he kind of had one foot out the door. And, you know, they certainly could have gotten another drummer, just some guy just to play the drums. But Richie comes in and is writing songs, he's singing for the band and backup vocals, and that was something that previous drummers Tommy and Marky hadn't done. He brought this new creative energy back to the band. I mean, just being a fan, you know, their last couple albums before the first one Richie made with the band, which was Too Tough to Die in 1984. Their last couple albums had been, you know, kind of on the spotty side. And the fact that Dee Dee left the band, Dee Dee Ramone being really the main songwriter of the group, he left the band not long after Richie did. And then the band just sort of plugged away for a few years. And maybe they had some good songs on their albums here and there. But the consistency that Richie brought back to the band was really important, and they probably wouldn't have gone on the length of time that they did had he not joined.
I mean, you say this, Peter, in the foreword of the book, it's the first line, Richie Ramone ain't no footnote, Richie Ramone is the linchpin, and you make that case.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at by saying that.
Richie, the title I Know Better Now, give us a sense of your meaning of that.
Well, you know, it's, you know, it has more to do than just with the Ramones. It has to do growing up as a kid, you know, all the experiences I've gone through and, you know, some decisions I made, which, you know, maybe weren't the right decisions, but, you know, so you know better now as an adult, I think, you know, rather than as a child. And, you know, you learn through life, you know. You know, my song, I Know Better Now, that I wrote that for the Ramones back in the day. And, you know, that talked about growing up as a kid, you know, and rebellion to your parents and things like that, you know. So I thought it was a good correlation to the book, a good title, because I'm reflecting on certain things that maybe could have been different. You know, it's really funny when you think about your life, you think about different turning points that, gosh, if I went this way, this would have all been different. I wouldn't have had this life or met this person or did that or, you know, so I had this opportunity. So it's pretty strange. So that's how I relate that title.
You say Joey's not around anymore, which is really sad. Neither are the other three original Ramones, Dee Dee, Johnny, and Tommy. But I'm a Ramone, too, and I'm still here. What is the fact of those other four not being around mean to you?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you know, I would have never expected this, you know. I mean, sure, we were on, you know, Dee Dee and I talked after I left the band, you know. We hung out, you know, he'd come to California. I never really saw Joey again until, you know, his funeral. John, actually, I never saw. But, and, you know, Tommy, I think I saw one of the Joey bashes a couple of times. But, you know.
That's the Joey Ramone
birthday
bash.
They mean a lot to me.
Bash,
yeah, the Joey Ramone birthday bash, which is every year, May 19th in New York City. But that's why I saw Tommy for a few years after that. But what do they mean? I mean, you know, I mean, every night that I perform and I play their songs, I think of them, you know, and I think of Joe, like, you know, I'm sitting behind the drums looking at Joey's back every night after night after night, you know. So they still weigh heavy on my mind. They taught me a lot about this business in my first national act, how to be respectful to the fans. They taught me a lot of cool stage things that they used to do, how, you know, they don't turn around and face the drummer and jam. You know, your audience is in front. The kids who paid the money are in front of you. To this day, I don't have my band ever turn around. They should never look, you know. You move forwards and backwards. You don't turn around. So they taught me a lot of cool things that I take with me today. But, you know, they're always on my mind. And, I always think of the brothers. And I want to do them right in my career now, you know. So.
Talk a little bit about your career now, your own band, and you're still out and doing a lot of dates and making a lot of music.
Yeah, still doing. I'm working on my third album now, and, you know, it's we're still having fun. As long as I'm healthy and can do this, I love seeing the world and drinking the wine and eating the food, and we're having a good time, and the people who come to the shows really have a good time. You know? So why not, right?
Why not, indeed? And Peter, what did you get out of the story in the sense of surprises for you for a band that you knew very well?
Well, there's a lot of surprises, and you know, this boy, where do I begin? I had no idea. This real kind of like journeyman, workman like background that Richie had. Before he was in the Ramones, I mean, he played in bands that played funk and polka and soul and disco and toured, hotel lounges in the 1970s, that whole circuit. And, you know, starting when he was in high school, played in those kind of bands in the Catskills. Back in the tail end of the Borschtspiel era, but that was, you know, such an insane juxtaposition of, between that world and the Ramones world, you know, that's one of the things, and just some insight into how some of the songs came about. Very interesting. And of course, a lot of crazy road stories that, I shouldn't talk about on the air here, that are in there too.
But it's why it's one of the reasons to read the book.
I had my brother Lenny, who was 5 years older than me. He was in band, you know. So 7, 8, I was already lessons. By 12, I was playing bar mitzvahs and weddings, and you know, I was out there, you know, doing real shows. And like you said, I played some shows in the Catskills.
And that story is sort of. It's analogous to, you know, the Ramones just being this kind of this band of contradictions. I mean, you had Johnny Ramone, known for being a real right-wing type of guy. You had Dee Dee, who's just, Richie describes in the book, and other people, I guess, kind of have also, you know, almost like a living cartoon character. And then you had Joey, who's, you know, someone dealing with intense obsessive-compulsive disorder, and just being a pretty scattered human being. And somehow the whole thing ran and made incredible music music that seems so obvious and elemental now, but you know, it didn't evolve out of a vacuum. It took these personalities to make it, and the fact that, you know, Richie, you know, being a mystery man, not talked about a lot, seems like he was someone that would have come out of a vacuum also, but he didn't, and that's right there in the book, the whole story.
The name of the book is I Know Better Now, My Life Before, During, and After the Ramones. The book is published by Backbeat Books. And Richie Ramone and Peter Aaron, thanks very much for spending time with us. Best of luck to you with the book, and I really appreciate you spending time with us this morning.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Absolutely.
You did an amazing job, so this is a lot of fun.
Richie, thank you very much. Richie and Peter, okay, Richie Ramone, Peter Aaron, thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is I Know Better Now, My Life Before, During, and After the Ramones. It's published by Backbeat Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.